Okay. I was so curious, like, how many people would be in this room. And so I'm excited. I know somebody in here is gonna really benefit from this. Okay, so let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this absolutely gorgeous day. I thank you for the ladies who are here. I thank you for this opportunity to share what has been an amazing opportunity in our lives at home. And I ask that you would bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so bringing the mission field into your home. I am a rambler, and because this has a lot of, what I'm going to say has a lot of personal stories, there's not really notes in your book. There's websites and the verses, and actually one of the verses is wrong. I must have given her the wrong reference, but that's any verse is a good verse. But so you guys have the websites, and that might be enough until question time. But okay, so I'm going to read scripture, Matthew 25, 33 through 40. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the fountain of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." And I think that's probably a familiar passage to most of you. But that passage always rings home to me. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." And then one more passage, John 13, 34 through 35. We are to show our love to show God's, that's not the passage. We're to show our love to show God's love. God wants us to be open to doing this. This is a command. Love one another as I have loved you. In this way, also people will know that you are my disciples. Okay, I think that, oh my goodness, I mean, you could Google, if you Google home hospitality verses come up so much. But as far as just loving people and what does that encompass? Well, it encompasses so much. So when I was wondering what to do as far as a workshop, because I've done workshops here, you know, on and off through the years, and I didn't know what other people were doing as a workshop, this just came into my mind, and I thought, oh, I don't know. And then it just stuck there. And I feel like God wanted me to share this with you guys because somebody in here is going to take it and run with it, and that would be amazing. Okay. So, four ways that we have been able to witness to people in our home. So I'm going to tell you the first two ways. One of them is foster care. I don't really want to answer questions about foster care and all of that because that's not the main one, but foster care. So I got into foster care. I feel like foster care is a bit of a trend right now. I don't want to use trend in a negative way. It's just become very big right now. But I got into foster care because I was at a dinner club with ladies. Some of the ladies I knew, some of them I didn't. We met once a month and we could bring visitors. And this gal was there, young gal. And she got up mid-dinner and she said, "I gotta go." And everyone's like, "Oh, sorry to see you go." And she said, "Anybody want a baby?" And I was like, "I do. I do, me." And so she left. You know, that's all she said. She left. And then people told me that she worked for a foster agency and she places babies. So that piqued my interest and I wanted to find out more. Talked to my husband about being being an emergency placement home. And is that locked? Come on in. You have to bring candy to the workshop leader. Okay, so anyway, I asked my husband about foster care, and he wasn't excited about it. So we'll probably be able to get out. So he wasn't excited about it, so I just kind of put it off to the side. And you know how once something's in your mind, then all of a sudden it's kind of coming out of the woodworks? And that's the way it was for me. All of a sudden I met people who were foster moms and kids at church who were foster kids or whatever. And I just couldn't let go of it. But I thought that if I did emergency placement, that I would just sort of have a bassinet in a crib set up. And then I would just like take a baby, and then the next morning they'd be gone, and that's kind of the way it would work. Well, that's not the way it works. And anyway, I brought it back up to my husband, and he said, well, we'll pray about it. And I said, well, could we just start the process? And just because I know it's a long process, they have to come check your home, and I had heard all the stuff. And he said, sure. Anyway, so we started doing foster care. How that, I wrote down some things of people that come into your home. Is anybody here a foster mom? You were. Okay. So you have social workers come into your home, people who come check your home, children's advocates, foster agency workers, specialists who assess the children, drivers who come and pick up the children for visits. And then, of course, you have the children. So I think it's changed through the years, and I think it's even getting a little more drastic. But you have to fill out a lot of paperwork. You have to answer a lot of questions. And I feel like God just open the doors. Because our home, we heat our home with a wood stove. We have a swimming pool. They said we're going to have to put a fence around our wood stove. I just said, I don't want to do that. It just would completely, I mean, I thought, I'm not going to do, that would just change the whole, I didn't want to do that. They said our pool fence is going to have to be higher. I said, we're not going to get a new fence. I mean, this is just going to have to be the way it is. I would sign papers, like if I had to talk about gender issues in where I have to sign, I just write things. I cannot agree with this because I'm a Christian. I cannot sign this part. However, we are anxious to love children and da, 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 da. I'd write up the sides. And it just went through. So God wanted us to be a foster home. We are not hosting any children right now. But through all of that, we had so many opportunities to just share our faith. All the people that came in, as they're asking us questions, as they're training me, I would be able to say, oh, I mean, I don't agree with that because I believe the Bible is true and it says an opposite thing. And anyway, so foster care is one way that if you're thinking about it and you guys were in here, I don't really want to answer a lot of questions about foster care if that's kind of, if you're leaning toward that at all. I would later, but maybe not in this session. But that's one way that we started to be able to verbalize and vocally talk to strangers in our home about Christianity. And then my husband and I love to do Airbnb when we travel. We like to stay in Airbnbs. And last year, we're empty nesters right now for the first time this fall. So we talked about a year ago, let's get a camper or a trailer or something so we can just drive around to our kids and all of this. So we got a camper and with the purpose of driving it around. So we got a super good deal on a little camper in a perfect condition. And my husband drove it home and he parked it. And I'm planning our trip, man. Where are we going to go? He said, I cannot drive that. I mean, my truck cannot pull that thing. It was very scary. It's too big for my truck to pull. So I said, we should turn it into an Airbnb. And we're thinking, who would come out here? So I went on Airbnb and I thought, I wonder if anybody's hosting out here. And I thought, oh my goodness, Jane's a host? So I know Jane. It's like, she's hosting? Judy Sarkisian's a host? She's hosting? And then another lady had just met Vicky. She was hosting in her house. And so, of course, I'm stalking them and reading their reviews and seeing how much they're charging and all of that. And I thought we could do this. People come out here and they stay. So in our Airbnb, I wrote a book, just a handwritten little book about what to do in the area, the critters that they might come across, places to eat, how we got out in the desert, how I came out to the desert, which is Ironwood. I talk about our church, our faith, our family, raising children in the desert. And then on our listing, I say, if you'd like to meet us, because they just self-check in, if you'd like to meet us, we'll come out there and chat. And inevitably, they ask about us coming out here, our church, different things. So it has been a really great tool for just speaking our faith. They ask out of curiosity. You know, I give them the little leads through that book, and they're sitting there. We don't have a TV in our camper. We don't have Wi-Fi. We have good cell phone service, so they're probably getting good service, but they have nothing else to do but to kind of flip through that book. And then I even have like a little photo album of when my husband's family first came out to the desert. So I think they're interested, and it causes some good. So I think curiosity causes great conversation. So Airbnb, that's our second way of bringing strangers to our home. So if you're curious about Airbnb, I'll answer those questions too, but maybe not in this session. Okay. So, and both of those things, there's income involved. I was never ashamed to say that I was very grateful that there was income involved in foster care. I think it's a great job, and it's great that there's money involved. And Airbnb, it's great. So you can ask me about that at lunch if you want to, or in the afternoon or something. But the other ones that we're going to talk about is the main thing. Okay. On your little notebook, you'll see a website called Workaway. So workaway.com is a website where people go on the website if they want to travel and they want to stay free and eat free. They have to be willing to work. Okay, so there's a website called WOOFing, which is World Organization of Organic Farmers. That is definitely farming, but Workaway is kind of anything. It's not a Christian organization, okay? So that's why it's such a great opportunity for our home to be a mission field. So we heard about Workaway. Our family volunteered. We haven't for a couple of years, but we used to volunteer at a place in Central California called Gleanings for the Hungry. And they get all of the rejects from the farms, and then they dry them, package them, and ship them out to the third world countries. So,
what city is that in?
In Dinuba. Yeah. So Workaway, we went there to volunteer, and there was a girl there from Belgium. And I talked to her through the week, and she was not a Christian, and she had been staying there, and so she had definitely heard the gospel. But she was leaving at the same time we were leaving. And so she had told me she heard about Gleanings from Workaway. That's all. I was like, oh, Workaway, whatever. Then she was leaving at the same time we were leaving. And this is not by mistake. This is such God-orchestrated work for us to open our home to Workaway. That's why I feel like somebody's sitting in here who's going to, you know what I mean? Because this room could be full and there could be distractions, but you know, it's just a small group. And anyway, so she said she was going to the Grand Canyon after Gleanings. And I said, oh, I think you go right by our house. You'll probably have to go right by our house to get there. And for those of you who are in here, I live about 15 miles that way. I live in the desert out here. So I said, I think you go by our house. You're welcome to stay with us. So she texted me and said, I'm going to take you up on that. You know, we were already home for a couple of days. And so she came. And how many of you guys have heard of LuLaRoe? Okay. I was having a LuLaRoe party that night. So that was super fun for her because she, home shows and all that was not a thing they do in Belgium. And one of my friends actually bought her a pair of leggings, and she just had a great evening, you know. when everybody left, we sat down and she was on Workaway because she was going to be finding another Workaway to go to. And so I was on it with her. And so that's how our story began on Workaway. When she left, I asked my husband, can we put our home on Workaway? And so we did. So Workaway is a site that you have to pay to be on. So we pay, I think like $50, and they pay. It is the best $50 I have spent. I'm not kidding. It is just the experience. And okay, so people contact you, they message you, they have a profile, you can look at their reviews and that kind of thing. I would say majority, maybe 60%, are in their 20s, but then you have all kinds of other people traveling. They're very much of the mindset of experiencing the world, kind of free living, like they kind of like will sleep wherever and with whoever, not sexually, but you know what I mean? Just hostel kind of living or camping kind of living, that kind of thing. I'm going to read this so I don't miss anything, okay? So we've had Americans request to stay at our house, but so far we've chosen to only host foreigners. However, yesterday an American asked me if she could come stay next week. And the weird thing is, she was going to be going to Gleanings. She doesn't know that I even have ever heard of that. She was supposed to be going to Gleanings, and they have COVID right now. And so she looked on Workaway and found us and asked if she could stay. And I had to say no because I'm substitute teaching. And anyway, so we have Americans request to stay at our house, but so far we've only hosted foreigners. These foreigners all know English, so you'll be fine. You communicate in English. Some of them don't know it great, like if they're from Japan. sometimes we have requests for long stays, meaning like 3 months to 6 months. We never say yes to long stays just because we don't want to. And sometimes short. We do not take, we don't take long stays also because we live out here. So when they're not working or we don't have something for them to do, there's not public transportation for them. There's not a whole lot for them to do. There's some things, but not 3 months worth. Okay, so when people come to our home, they are gracious, polite. They have no expectations because they don't know what our home is going to be like. They know it's going to be different from their homes. They want to experience American life, not as a tourist. You know, they want to experience it in a home. They want to see what we really live like. They want to save money, and they want to practice their English. We've had lots of people ask us to correct their English. With the Japanese girls, it would be like constant. But Germans, no, their English is perfect, down to slang. We pick up our Workawayers from the bus stop in Barstow. So they're usually flying into LAX or Las Vegas, and then I tell them, you know, get a bus ticket to Barstow. That's where we're going to pick you up, and we pick them up there. It's helpful to remember when you're hosting strangers that they're probably more nervous than you are. You know, they're strange too. It's your home, so they're nervous. I have noticed that whoever is in our home from out of the country, they usually, really all of them, on their free time, they want to be in nature. They're hikers. They don't want to like go shopping at the outlets. they want to see nature. Sometimes I can drop them off somewhere. Sometimes I've taken them places and I'm a little burnt out of playing tour guide in a way, because it's like, okay. But I do take them over here. And this Ironwood is one of the greatest tools I have for getting the conversations going. So we come over here. They love it because it's a Western town. So they've seen the cowboys of the Western world. And it's so cool to them to see all of this. And then I tell them there's a church here, a school here, camps for all ages, They have so many questions. It is such a great, conversation to spring off of. Then when I tell them that the people who live here are living by support, that they don't make money, that's a great, great form of talking about things. And usually I show them things, and then through the time that they're at our house, which is usually about 2 weeks, they ask questions. So we answer this question, and that causes them to ask another question. But in the comfort of our home, and they're curious, they ask questions. They ask questions about our faith. And, you know, it is amazing to me how little people know. We just, in America, we assume, but I don't even assume that anymore of Americans. People do not know Christianity at all. And so, okay, so one time we had two girls from Japan staying with us, and we always make sure they have to stay over a Sunday. So I just tweak my calendar, like these dates work well for us, and they have to stay through a Sunday. And it always works. And I tell them ahead of time, you know, we go to church and we expect you to come to church with us to be involved with our family. And if you say it up front, it's not weird when they come. They know they're coming to church. You can say that on your bio. You can say that however you want to say it. So we had these girls from Japan coming, and we were going to be doing communion. So I asked them if they have ever heard of Jesus Christ. And one of the girls said that she had heard of it since she'd been in the United States, and the other girl hadn't. So these two girls had come to be students here. One was at the University of Idaho, and one was, I think, in Tennessee or something. And the University of Idaho girl, I said, Idaho? Like, how did you choose Idaho? You know, that was so funny to me, like, coming from Japan. And she said, oh, I Google safest state in United States. That was her choice. And that's why she chose that. It was so funny. Anyway, but I went online. I looked up, like, got a good, clear, doctrinally sound thing on communion and the gospel. And then I said, do you guys mind if I explain to you, like, what's going to be happening at church? So you could, oh, no, no, you know. So I give them the gospel. Then I hand them the papers, and I said, you guys could bring these with you, and you'll know what's going on. And I Google translated it and copied it into Japanese. And so I said, I hope this translates okay, because obviously I can't read Japanese. I said, but this will tell you a little bit about what's going on. Then later I could say, so did you kind of track with the papers? Did that make sense as you were going along? Yeah. And then they'll ask a question, and you have ground for giving answers. They're so curious. I just feel like I'm like shoveling and dropping a seed and shoveling and dropping a seed. And that one of you guys is going to water it. And that, you know what I mean? Okay. So, it is exhilarating to share the gospel with someone who has never heard any of it. It's a whole new thing to us. One time we had a French family staying with us, and their kids came back to junior church where I teach, and I couldn't believe it. I was thinking, oh my goodness, I was telling them about Jonah, and I thought, oh, this is going to be so far-fetched. The kids didn't even hardly speak English. They were just sitting with the kids. They knew their numbers, but I thought, okay, this mom is going to be like, what in the world? But to us, it seems so normal. We've taught Jonah forever. But I thought, this is going to seem like brainwashing. Like, I have kids, and I'm telling them this crazy story. But boy, was that the ground for questions. I thought, God knew. He had this mom come back, and I had to just tell her that we take the Bible, the whole thing, and we believe it as truth by faith. So many questions. Yeah, so that was really good. One time we had an Italian couple come, and so I didn't really have much for them to do, so we went to my son's house to paint his house. And they had already been to church with us, and the man said to my son, so you believe that you were created by God. And he just said it like that. And he's a younger guy, probably like 28 or something. And my son, yeah, I said, yeah. He said, wow, like, how do you believe that? Like, he was just incredulous that somebody our age would actually believe that. And Owen said, same way you believe how you got here, by faith. I believe the Bible's true. I believe that by faith. And you believe, whatever you believe, by faith. Neither of us were here, you know. Anyway, that just, you're painting, you know, you're trapped. They're trapped. But we don't like, you know, we don't come down on them really hard. And but they're asking, you know, they're curious. They're that age group where they're just, they don't believe anything anymore. I mean, it's just crazy, you know. Okay. Then we had a German girl stay with us, and we were working at a camp. So every day she got to hear the gospel. And she actually taught the kids a workshop, how to speak German, and told about Germany and all that. So that worked out well. I got to keep track of my time here because I want to have time for questions. So on Workaway, you set your calendar. You can block months. You can open them up. And they will find you because it's California and people are traveling to California. We're on Route 66. People travel Route 66. You know, all these foreigners have heard of Route 66 and they want to travel it. And if you're anywhere near the beach, they want to be close to the beach. They, you know, we're in the desert. They want to see the desert. And so they will come, and it is great. We did have a family come. They had a couple kids, and I was ready for them to leave because the child was a little aggressive with like slamming doors and a little out of hand. I thought, oh, one good spanking, that child would be good to go. Okay, so that's Workaway. Now, warmshowers.com is also, you guys could all do this. Anybody could do this. It is great. I will tell you how I heard, and I feel like even with Workaway, God just orchestrated that. And my husband doesn't have like the outgoing personality that I have, but he loves it too. And yeah. Anyway, which his personality, you would think maybe he wouldn't. He loves it. He sees it as a great mission field. Okay, so warm showers. Bizarre how I came across this. But I'm an avid library user. When my kids were growing up, we just every week, you know, stacks and bring them back. And then I usually have a book that I, even if I'm in ladies' Bible study, I'm not a book buyer. I'm a book library, probably because I'm a tightwad half the time, or I buy it used because I love to see what other people wrote in there, in the book. I'm so curious, and it's funny because all the Bible study books that you get like used are only like halfway filled out, kind of like they dropped out, but they're selling their book. It's always funny to me. But I was in the library and went to go pick up my books that I had put on hold off the shelf. They have like a new books rack, like the new bestsellers, and I'm just not into that. I'm not into like fiction. I'm not into, I mean, I've never even paused at that shelf before, and for some reason I just was kind of standing there. I thought, maybe I'll get one of these books, and I just grabbed a book off of there, and the cover's not even enticing, and it's called To Shake the Sleeping Self. I got home, started to read it, and it's a nonfiction book. I thought that's great. About a guy who rode his bike from Oregon down to the tip of South America, down to Patagonia. And on his travels, he used the website warmshowers.com for places to stay. So Warm Showers is a website for cyclists to share with each other. So they're going to open their home. So as they're traveling, they can get a shower and get back on their bike, or they can spend the night or whatever. So I got done reading the book, and of course I asked my husband, can we put our home on warmshowers.com? And he's like, what is it? Yeah. And because we'd already been doing work away, I thought, you know, I just felt comfortable, you know, doing it. Fears were just no. I just felt like, of course, we pray about things and we ask each other questions and think about it and just feel like, I feel like, why did I pick up that book? Why am I so interested? I think God, you know, I know God has a plan, but at that point you think, is this God? Anyway, so we put our home on warmshowers.com. And when I signed up, I made it clear on our bio page that we're not bikers, that we just enjoy meeting new folks, and we would like to open our home. That site you also have to pay to be on, and they have to pay to be on, but I think it's like $20, and I haven't paid for like 3 years, so it's just a one-time fee or something. When you sign up, you get to choose how you want to host. You mark, yes, you can take a shower, yes, you can have a meal, yes, you can have a bed, yes, you can... all of those things. If you just want to host a meal, you could just mark a meal. They're going to read that. They're going to see it. You can set up tents. You can mark just tents. Tents only, no shower. But I feel like the whole site is for them to get a shower. They've been on the bike all day long. They're serious bikers. I mean, they have some bikes. Like, I've looked up their bikes, and they're like $10,000 bikes. You know, they're like, yeah. Anyway, so... on my bio, you can say whatever you want to say. And we say that we are Christians and we love Jesus. I like to include the name Jesus and Christ because Christianity can kind of mean anything nowadays. So including that is more specific. They only stay for one night. Okay. They are on a schedule. So it's great. You don't have to worry about them overstaying their welcome. They just don't. I offer the washing machine and dryer. And some people have taken us up on that, and some haven't. And, you know, they just do a small little load. They kind of put everything in. And they always eat with us. And so we pray before we eat. And we pray with them before they get back on the road in the morning. We ask if we can pray over them. And anyway, so I wanted to tell you guys just a couple situations of people that have come through Warm Showers. We had a Jewish man stay with us, and we prayed at dinner. I didn't know he was Jewish until later in our conversation, but we prayed over dinner, and he was probably 30 to 35. He was a little bit older, and he said, oh, cool. I've never heard a prayer with Jesus in it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'm thinking, you're American, and you are as old as you are, and, you know, and a perfectly not, you know, a perfectly normal person who looks like they've had a good education or whatever. I don't know. Then he said, I'm Jewish. And I thought, ah, okay. So he's not hearing Jesus' name. And then he said, but I've never been to the synagogue or anything. And I've actually never really been to church. And I thought, oh, and this was Saturday night. And he was not on a time frame like the other ones. He was biking for a long time, but he was taking his time. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't want him to stay another night. I really don't. And I'm thinking, it's Saturday night. He's not on schedule. He's going to be here Sunday. I'm going to need to be open to this, you know. Anyway, so, and... if he stayed Sunday, my husband takes a nap. That means I'd be doing the chatting and the entertaining or whatever. And anyway, it doesn't matter, though. It's worth it. So he definitely wanted to sleep in. He kind of made that clear. And I was thinking, oh, then we're going to be leaving him by himself. I feel fine about that. We don't do that often. But, you know, you have a feeling. Felt totally fine. And I said, well, then you, when you wake up, you're welcome to come to church with us. My car is out there. The keys are hanging right here. Church is at 11. It's right up the road. You said you've never been to a church. I mean, this would be great for you to experience. Why not experience this, you know, on your trip, something. He showed up. I couldn't believe it. He was there. He sat down. My husband makes announcements and is up front. So he's sitting next to me. He picked up a pew Bible. I didn't like hand it to him or anything. He just picked it up, flipped right to Hebrews. And he said, whoa, that's my people. And I said, that whole book is your people. I said, yeah. I said, you want to find out more about your people? Read the Bible. And he was like, oh, really? And I said, yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I think, oh, my goodness, God just orchestrates things like that. And he had more questions. And of course, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, don't ask me. Like, then he's asking me about like different Jewish and, you know, I'm like, well, you might need to save that for my husband because, or I'm going to have to look it up while I talk to you and stuff like that. But we were able to talk about the difference, how we believe that Jews are the chosen race. That's Jesus's race. But we believe that Jesus is our Savior. He's already come. And he's curious because I said, because, you know, Jewish people are awaiting the Savior. And we believe that the Savior's already come and that he came for Jews and Gentiles. And you can get into that conversation. It's him. It's his life. He's curious. So, you know, just putting that seed in. And it's a different feel for us, too, because it's people who are adults who haven't heard the gospel. I'm so used to teaching children that this is a whole different way. They're very hungry because they've been riding their bikes. So you can fix anything you want. They are going to consume in large portions. I'm not kidding. One guy described it as his stomach is a furnace. And the minute the food doesn't even like hit his stomach, it's like burned up. He said, that's how they're burning. So I had a young guy stay. Matter of fact, he's still biking. He started down in LA somewhere. He works for a man who's paralyzed, who needs a new van that has all the contraptions for him to get out in and drive by himself, super expensive. So he's biking to Chicago and he wants to arrive on Halloween and there's gonna be a reception for him there and he's doing a fundraising ride there. Well, we have a pool, he wanted to swim. And so he said, you coming in? I said, no, it's freezing. And of course, my husband just, you know. And I said, I'll come out there and hang out there with you. And so I sat there and he said, how deep is it? And I said, 8 feet. And he said, okay. And super tall guy, like way taller than me. He's probably 6'4", whatever. And he jumps in the shallow end in a really kind of strange way. And I said, can you swim? And he said, not very well. And I was like, okay. I said, because I should know that in case. I said, so do you want to stay in the shallow end? He said, no, I can like dog paddle. And so I kind of ended up giving him a little bit of like lessons, keep your legs up and keep them parallel. Well, then he wants to chat. He wants to chat about his life. I chat about my life. Everybody asks, how'd you get out here? And why are you out here? And it's just great. It's like a captive audience. You've fed them well. They're comfortable. You're giving them a place to sleep. We've had people tent also. They just want to chat. And a lot of bikers like to bike by themselves because then they can pace by themselves. And so they're ready to talk. They've been by themselves all day long for hours and hours and hours and hours. And they're ready to tell somebody about their day and unfold. And it's really great. If you guys are interested at all, here's the wonderful thing. It's available to us. We have that availability to love these people, to share Christ with these people. We have homes. We have food. They are not expecting anything. They would sleep anywhere. I'm telling you, they're not expecting. And you don't have to host them to sleep. They camp on the side of the freeway. They camp wherever their bikes lead them because sometimes there's nowhere to stay. We are the only warm showers between Victorville and Ludlow. Really more like Bullhead City. So we get asked a lot. And we say no sometimes. We had five men come and then my husband was working late And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. You know, then I start to think, okay, am I being dumb? You know? But no, you just have this different feeling. You know, they get off their bikes. All they want to do is stretch their legs. They set up their tents. I'm cooking dinner. By then, my husband's home. But I am home alone, and there's five men, and it's like, Anyway, the communication is easy, and they message ahead of time. And so I'll read my last little thing. We can ask some questions. So, and I tell them, we usually go to bed at 10. I'm going to have breakfast ready for you at 8. Whatever. I'm just real specific. They're fine with it. You know, I could say we go to bed at 9, so make yourself comfortable. But if you don't mind keeping this side of the house kind of closed and quiet, because our bedroom's right next to the kitchen. So I just kind of say, okay, is there anything else you need? Because we're closing this side of the house down. And they're just really gracious and accommodating. And okay, so I wrote, although it's very scary to host, you know, we have the Lord looking over us. And I think we as women, we have a feeling, you can tell. God gives us intuition for, and if you have a husband, use your husband for that intuition and that guidance. And if your husband says, you could say, could we try it once or twice and then make a decision? Or can we revisit this next year? I really want to do it. So can I bring it up again? That's what I do with my husband. That always helps, because then I can say, and you won't mind if I like tell you things or ask you things or no, you know, he's so, but I think that we get in a rut. We get in a rut of what our lives we think are supposed to be, how we can witness in our world or not witness. We maybe are too nervous to witness to our neighbors. This is good practice because it's way different than people you know. It's way easier in my mind. But to be open. So I hope you guys are going to look up these websites. Neither of them are Christian websites. It might appear that it's a party scene, sort of, like the young people who are just kind of like, whoop, not warm showers as much. You will have an opportunity with every one of these people that enter your home. We have had an opportunity. They ask because they've read the bio, and I don't have like a big Christian bio. I just make it clear. But the more you add to your bio, I think I have the desert as an advantage because they're kind of curious about the desert. But the more you add, the more questions they're going to ask. They give you information about themselves. It's very candid. It's very open. I thought I would read the message from the girl that asked if she could stay next week. And I know her message is so long. And I love this. And I love this. And I'm a really good worker. And I'm willing to do this and this and this. But, you know, anyway, so I would encourage you to use what God has given you to entertain strangers. It's really great. Do you guys have any questions? Great question. Okay, so warm showers, we started when we had two girls home and teenagers. So one of my daughters like, well, I'll be at work, so no big deal. My other daughter like, okay, I'm going to spend the night at Sophia's or whatever. So she didn't. She sat at dinner with those five men and loved it. They engaged with her and all of that. And they like it. Now, as far as safety, work away, we did not take any guys on work away because our girls' bedrooms are down the hallway. And I mean, I think even our girls felt fine after a while. We did take couples, you know, because their couples are going in a bedroom or a family or whatever. Yeah, I mean, so I was very aware of that. You know what I mean? I think if I had younger kids, I would. You feel it out. You feel it out. You just have somebody come and see how you feel. And I was really honest on Workaway at the beginning because I would get a request from like a young man And I would just say, I only have daughters at home. They don't feel comfortable. I'm sorry, I can't host you. If you want to get a group of other people together and it's warm enough, we can come up with a camping situation. Or they're just looking to experience America, travel free. A lot of them just want to see, what's going to grow in the desert because they're into natural eating. We have, I tend to want to steer away from vegan because I don't want to cook vegan, but I love to eat vegan. I just don't want to have to think about, I can't do that. Wait a minute, is that vegan? And I look up vegan recipes. We've had vegan people, you know, but, one thing on Workaway, I require them to cook for us as well. So we've had some great meals. Yeah, so that's on, you know, ours, and they know when they come. And I remind them of it in my messages. So let me know what you want to cook that's native of your country, and I'll buy the ingredients, or we'll go get the ingredients together. And, any other questions? Yes. Oh, okay. We do yard work. If something's going on at our church, we go and do it. We've gone to weed over at our church. I have a friend who has a pistachio farm out here, and we're going to go help him harvest in November because we have some people coming. We haven't had people for a while, you know, because of how much what?
Like, you don't want to overwork them.
Oh, listen.
How much work is fair? You know?
It's supposed to be 5 hours a day. I don't have 5 hours of work a day. But with... Well, we've had different Japanese people, but the two girls that came that one time, it was really hot. And we have a pool. So we had another girl from Germany there at the same time. And she wanted to go home. She was going to be going home after our house. And she wanted to be as brown as possible. So she was swimming. And the Japanese girls were never out there. And I thought, they probably don't have swimsuits. So I said, let's go to Walmart. And do you guys have swimsuits? Do you want to get some bathing suits? And no. And I thought, okay. Why aren't you swimming? I just had to get to the bottom of it. It was so hot. They're young. And, we stay white. And I was like, yeah. Really, it's so fun. It's so fun to learn their culture and everything. I asked so many questions, but they asked so many questions. And when they cooked, they had never cooked before, but they didn't tell me that. So I saw them in the kitchen, and they're both on their phones, and I could hear that they're watching stuff. And so they cooked a big meatball and shredded cabbage and potato salad. It was good. And then I asked them, because I just provide breakfast foods, and I usually tell them, let's eat breakfast between 7:30 and 8. So they know to come out, and they kind of fix their own thing. I said, what do you guys eat for breakfast? Like, what is the basic everyday breakfast in Japan? Rice with an egg, and it's a raw egg. I said, you guys can have that. So, yeah. So we just fixed a big pot of rice at the beginning of the week, and they just would scoop out the rice, microwave it, and then put an egg on top, and they were happy as could be, and smoothies go in all the time, and, you know, different things. I would say everybody we've had is just healthy. I mean, it has made me really realize that Americans are not very healthy. No, they eat their desserts and stuff like that, but definitely... You know, I have to like have a good supply of, and you know, I haven't noticed like a huge grocery difference. You know, right now it wouldn't make a big difference to me. 10 years ago, it would have been tough. Like we just kind of came out of, like we can just breathe the last 5 years. You know what I mean? Our kids are growing, gone, and it's like, yes, we can go to McDonald's. No. Yes. Yes. And I have just no doubt that the fact that I pulled that book off the shelf, that was definitely God.
I did have another question about the warm showers. So Workaway is where they come and they work for their stay, but what about warm showers? Is it free for them?
It's free.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They usually arrive around 4-ish, 5-ish, and they just get off their bike and kind of bring their stuff in. They go take a shower. We have a nice long dinner. They have nothing else to do. And then, you know, they're online. They're always posting their travels. So they want that time. That's another thing. I'm not a poster, but I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and they are, all of them. So I follow them, and I'm watching, you know, when they arrive and when they get there and all of that. But that would be like another seed. If I was a poster, they could see even more, you know, Christianity just through that. So, yeah, what would be a, what time are we supposed to be done? At 12? 11 to 12 or 11 to 11:45? Let somebody look. I don't want to keep you guys too long. Lunch is at 12:15. Okay, so just a few more minutes, but I'm wondering from you guys, what would be, what do you think, like you came in here for a reason, but what would be your instant like, I would never do that? Or is it your husband? Is it your the room that you have in your house? Or are you interested? I'm curious.
I didn't even know this stuff was out there.
There's so many. Yeah.
And we're just like doing, you know, we just got finished with a big revival at our church, and we had very poor attendance. Everybody that came were church people, and even though we were out, you know, giving out flyers and inviting people and talking to people, we went over 250 flyers handed out to people by others, and we were posting on Facebook every time we went to the restaurant. We would take a picture of the restaurant, we would take a picture of our revival paper inviting people. And I mean, everybody had great ideas, but it was all church people. Nobody unchurched would come, and they could see everything. It was outside, some of it, and lights and banners and
You've got to be on Warm Showers. Yes.
And the cyclists come through because they cycle.
Yes.
Yes. Plus, like, our house is right off. I always see bikers. Our house is, like, kind of right off the freeway, 4 minutes off the freeway. And people are, like, biking, like, Palm Springs or, you know, like, the 60 freeway.
Yep.
Like, that'd be...
Yeah. And, you know, with... Workaway 2 is really, really great. I think, you know, in Germany, the young people, they're done with high school when they're 19. Here it's 18, you know. And they take a gap year. That's just standard. In Japan, they come over here for their freshman year because it's very important that they learn English. That one Japanese girl, she really struggled. And, you know, the one that went to Tennessee. And I said, well, how'd you do in your... studies? Not good. And I said, wow. She said, she just had a hard time. And she was looking for where to go after my house. And I felt really bad because I felt like, oh, I need to just keep her with us. She didn't know where she was going. Her friend had already found another workaway. She was going to Canada to work in a hostel, cleaning a hostel, and they speak French. And she doesn't know hardly any French. She knows a little bit. And I thought, she thinks she knows English. Like, well, if she only knows a little French, then she knows nothing. And I thought, oh my goodness, these girls, and they're in communication with their parents, but their parents want them to, especially Japanese, to learn the world, learn languages, you know, exposure, because their world is hospitality and electronics and, you know.
So, and it's probably not as big as a commitment as, say, like having a foreign exchange student. How long, like, what's the longest they've stayed
It's different. Okay, so for foster care, when you get a foster child and you know how long you're going to have them, and I don't know how you felt about this, I felt like I was sort of babysitting. But if I had them and I didn't know when they were leaving, they kind of became mine. I think with exchange students from the, because we thought about exchange students one time. That's when I was looking for ways to make money. I just, different people telling me different things, but I feel like if it wasn't a good fit, they were kind of trapped, and you have that mental, because you're doing it more, you're not doing it as far as witnessing more, you're doing it because they're just coming to live in your home, and so you're trying to make it work. I have to, yeah, once we started, and you know, maybe that was the Lord just closing doors, but
certain times of the year we're like, come on over, and then there's other times we're like,
Yeah.
And I like my kids to be exposed to, like, we've had missionaries come and stay at our house for as long as a month and a half. We've had different people stay, and I love the exposure they get to different cultures.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, that's why I loved it, too, because our girls were learning their culture,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, they're learning. I mean, we had conversations about, you know, why those young adults didn't have tattoos. Why, you know what I mean? And all Americans at that age, you know, are, if they don't have tattoos, it's because they're a Christian and have decided not to. They have more like a moral belief or something. Not that, you know. Anyway, I'm just saying it's a curiosity of why that age group and what they do and...
It's all kind of, you feel comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest hesitation is the safety issue. Like, so I like the 10 ideas and having an external camper, and not that we love having people in our home and hosting single men from church and stuff like that, but just like a stranger from another part of the world, I feel like, you know, there does have to be some predators that are taking advantage of these kind of sites, right? Like, you have to be in.
So, okay. Yeah. So if you peruse the sites, you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that on Warm Showers. You're not going to see that on Workaway. You're not going to see that even on Woofing. You will see that on Couch Surfing. You'll peruse the sites and kind of, you're going to want to go do Workaway. I mean, I have Workaways marked like, oh, let's go do this. Let's go to Thailand and work on a tea farm. And let's, you know, you'll see that safety issues are huge. So you have to bring that before the Lord, because we have kids. Our girls are like, really? And it's like, we're thinking about you. Tell us what you're thinking. We don't want to do this if you're not going to be in. But they started to love it. You had a question.
Oh, I just had a comment. We hosted an Airbnb inside our house for 3 years.
Ah.
We first moved into the house. And we had hundreds of people stay with us. And I've been part of Airbnb's guests.
Uh-huh.
Since before anybody was like, Airbnb, what?
Yeah, we did it when we started. Yeah, when it first started. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not safety.
And it was, I don't know, we were like, are they running from the law? Or what is with this? Like, we couldn't figure them out. And they were the kindest people ever. And actually, they left us this really nice thank you note and extra money and everything. Like, they were just completely unaware of the Airbnb whole thing when they stayed. But the other 298 people, groups that stayed with us, totally great. And we had a map of the world, and you scratched off where you were from. And we've had the whole gamut with us, and
yeah.
All kinds of, you actually learn language and start to, like, okay, how do I say hello in Japanese again?
Uh-huh.
We learned, I mean, we just had beautiful people, and there was a group of sisters that made us dinner the one night, and just great, great people that are on these sites, and they just want to, like you said, it's like they're as nervous as you are, and yeah.
And they want to experience, and COVID has made it a little bit more difficult to engage with them. The Workaway?
Yeah. Can you put on your message when you post what your house is or whatever, can you post what work needs to be done?
Uh-huh, yeah. And
they're looking, oh, I can do that.
Yeah, and it's funny because sometimes I think, oh, I just kind of want to give them something to do. It's, my feeling of that sometimes is, okay, this is kind of weird that I'm like, having, like, we don't have a working farm or a working, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, yay, someone's going to trim my trees. But So I don't have them work that much, but I mean, I've heard their stories of where they've worked and how they've had to work. And, you know, I think they are taken advantage of sometimes. But they're going to learn that through the site too. I don't think, you know, it's not perfect. And I think, I think you do it and you try it and you see what happens. Yeah.
I have a broken sprinkler pipe or something to that effect. You could have them stay with you, take them to their house, be there with them and see that might be safe.
The hardest thing is lots of days of work to try to come up with if they're there for a long time. But yeah, it's really great. It's really so. I hope you guys visit those sites.